Hello, everyone. Y'all come on in. We're going to get started today. We have a special day planned. I'm going to be bringing Coach Lizzie up as a guest Q&A panelist with me. So as soon as she gets here, she'll raise her hand. And today we are kicking off our month on all things making planning a part of your life, like a great part of your life. I really want to emphasize this month, if you don't walk away with anything, I want you to walk away with this. When I create a food plan, this is the best way each day to make sure that my needs have been met. Like, I really want y'all to think about this. When we talk about our meal plans, when we're doing the 24-hour plan, it is not a torture tool. It is not a way to restrict. It is not a way to lock you in on things, to make you eat a certain way. I really feel like the 24-hour plan and the reason why it is such an important part of not only losing weight, but keeping weight off, is that as women, not every day are we consciously taking care of ourselves. Most of us, when we have a weight issue, it is because we are unconsciously taking care of ourselves. We only know how to meet our needs through eating at night, transition eating during the day, getting triggered by someone or something. And instead of taking care of the situation and taking care of ourselves, we eat so that we don't have to feel the way we do, and we just hope things change, or we just hope this blows over, or hope this goes away. That is not taking care of yourself, my friends. That is avoiding. And one of the things that has really helped me all the way through weight loss was by creating a 24-hour plan every day, I am able to see when I am using food to take care of my needs so that I am forced to see what my truest needs are. And whether or not I do anything about it is up to me. But I at least want to know, what am I missing out on in life? And it ain't Oreos. And it's not some nighttime snack. It's like, what am I missing out on life? Because I keep eating and not solving what I really need. Another thing I think the 24-hour plan does for all of us is it really helps us have that space each day to say, this is the kind of day that I think you're going to have. And this is how we can keep your goals, your dreams, and what you really want for you, not only in your weight, but in your food life and your food freedom. Every single day, I can figure out a way to make sure some of those needs get met. And here's how we're going to do it. And then here are the things I'm willing to do because my dreams are important to me. Here are some of the things I'm willing to feel because my dreams are really important to me. And here's some of the stuff I want to include in my food because I'm having a great relationship with food is just really important to me. So planning is not a way to box you in. It is not something you have to do. That's punishing. If it feels punishing, you need to figure out what is that story you're telling yourself? Because the story I tell about 24-hour planning makes me want to do it, shows me why it's so important, makes me feel like I care about me. It's motivating me. It also takes the pressure off. It makes me not think it has to be perfect. There is a thousand things that it does for me. So it's really important for you to think like there's the 24-hour plan, and then a lot of us have feelings about it. And whatever your feeling about it is, means it is either you have helpful thinking about it, or you've got thinking about it that's probably laced in diet mentality that is not helpful. And we can change that. Because I promise all of you, planning is not excruciating. It's only excruciating when we are overthinking it, worrying that we're doing it wrong. This is the stuff you need. Like, you need to plan every day to prove to yourself, I really can't do this wrong. I need to start planning from love. I need to start planning from care. I need to start planning from, like, if I was going to teach my 5-year-old daughter or granddaughter to start planning her food so that she has lots of foods that she enjoys, so that she's also healthy, so that she can go places and do things, so that one day she has an amazing relationship with food. How would I be telling, what would I be telling her about planning? How would I be teaching her? And then that's the version, that's the story you want to be telling you. There will be a distinct difference if you have a shitty relationship with planning. Okay, I'm going to call up Coach Lizzie. And we're going to talk a little bit first about the new guide that she crafted for all of us. So let me get my notes up. I've got all kinds of notes up right now. Lord, my screens, y'all, I should be ashamed. Seriously. Oh, okay. Did you just get the memo of what we're supposed to wear today as a top?
Yeah, we planned ahead. Like, you look great.
I know. I'm just like, I love your choice of outfit today.
Yeah, you too.
What is wrong with us Nobius women? We always dress the same. It's like we all get in a room together, except for usually me. I'm usually the like wild stallion dressed in leather and sequins. And then the rest of y'all are in all black. And today I'm just like, hello, my name is Johnny Cash. Let's go. All right. Well, let's start with, first of all, thank you. So if you have already taken a peek at our new meal planning guide, will you make sure that you give us some love in the formative emoji if you like it in the chat? If you will, if you want to say something over there, Lizzie is the one you need to thank for this. We worked really hard. She worked the hardest. I will admit, like, I gave the feedback and the direction, and then she just ran and made sure that it all got done. So we really appreciate it. And it is amazing. That's right, y'all. It is very amazing. So what we want to do is, first, I just want you to talk about why you created it, like kind of how all this got started. Let's just focus on why we're giving it to the members.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, the bottom line of the why is we wanted to give a resource for members, but the philosophy that I have about the planning guide is kind of like it embodies no BS in the philosophy in general, which is like for so many years and decades, we've all been told what to eat by diets. And so naturally we take that mentality to meal planning, 24 hour planning. And it's like, oh, it's just another version of some force outside of me telling me what to eat. It just happens to be that I'm making the plan, but like now I'm rebelling against me instead of the diet. And what I love about the way that we constructed this meal plan is it's like, you know, let's just drop the whole concept of somebody or something is telling you what to eat, what's good, what's bad, you know, whether, you know, you were naughty or not, you know, like, let's just drop it all. Like, this is about empowering you to make choices that you can own because you are an OBS woman and you can make a choice and you can like your reasons, and that you can do that whether you are, you know, super overwhelmed and you get to the end of the day and you're like, I do not, you know, I do not care for what I planned. I want to go to takeout. Okay, great. You can still make a, you know, a proactive choice that's empowered, where you're going out to eat and you don't know where you're going. That still, like, you can make an empowered choice. It's not about like, oh, this is my loophole. Now I can get out of the diet and, you know, be bad. Like, no, you're still you. You still get to own your choices and be kind of your own best friend when you're making your food choices. That I, just as you were saying a minute ago, that it's all about making a plan is all about taking care of yourself rather than someone or something telling you what to do.
So a question just came in that I definitely want us to answer, because this is a good one, which is, my planning has shown I have a really boring food life. I seem to plan almost the same thing every day. Is this a problem? I know what my hot take is on this, but let's hear yours first, and then I will give my own personal opinion.
Well,
this is not a quiz, by the way, everyone. I'm not quizzing Lizzie. I just, like, one of the things I think all of you need to also recognize when it comes to our coaches is that we all have a very big background in weight loss. And Lizzie has one of the biggest ones. She is multi-certified. She's not like a lot of us, like just like me. I have my, well, actually, I have two now, but I have like my main life coaching certification. And then I did do an advanced training in emotions and such. But, you know, Lizzie and Kathy both have multiple certifications. And that's why I like to get everybody's opinions because we look at questions and we look at things through different lenses. And a lot of you are naturally going to always be like, Corinne's the best, only because you found me. But then a lot of you come in and you half can tolerate me. You're just like, well, this chick makes sense, but I don't really don't love how rough and tough she is. And then you find other coaches in here who suit your needs. So it's important, I think, for all of you to get all of our perspectives. Let me just go on a small rant before you answer this question. But I really do believe this, that if you're going to lose weight, you will do better if you are listening to all of us and not saying one of us is better than the other. You never know when you're missing out on gems. You never know when you're missing out on someone else's unique perspective or something that will click for you. I read this a lot where a lot of you just kind of want to only stick to me, or I only want to work with this certain coach because you get it locked in your head that they're the answer. Me and Lizzie are not your answer. There is no coach in here that is your answer. The answer is always in you listening to a lot of things. And when something lands, you run with it. You don't know when things are going to land. And I know this personally because my current coach, who I've worked with for 6 years, I have a very special relationship with her. But if you looked at us from the outside, I joke about this all the time. I could not have picked a coach who was as polar opposite, who believes completely different things, coaches in a way different style than I do. Like, literally, we don't even, like, she's got black, solid black hair from South Africa. There's like, we're so different. But if I hadn't have been open to the idea that I was going to change my life through a variety of teachers, I would, most of you wouldn't even be here at this point. All right. So let's go to the question. My planning has shown I have a really boring food life. I seem to plan almost the same thing every day. Is this a problem? What is your opinion on this?
Well, I just want to second your comments about the diversity of the coaches that we have. That like every time I look around a meeting or for a camp or I'm listening to what another coach's call, I'm like, God, she's brilliant, and we really are very different. And I love that we like we if you are an OBS woman, we got somebody for you. So that aside, this question, I love this question because like I'm you, I have a very boring eating life, and I love it. Because it is so simple. And in some ways, like I love that I eat mostly the same things, like breakfast and lunch, basically always the same. Occasionally I'll go out to lunch. And but then again, like when I go out to lunch, I have like two or three things I have every time. Dinner, it's a rotating menu of eight-ish different menu items, that the whole family likes. And it's just so easy. I love it. And so it's, I don't think that's a problem at all. In fact, I think that makes meal planning and weight loss way easier. That's personally my take. And, like basically use it as your superpower instead of being like, this is a problem. You're like, this is fantastic. What are your
I
thoughts?
agree. So, pretty much the same thing as you. Like, I'm also a boring eater. But one of the things that I actually read this on Instagram is for me, especially the older I get, boring is like the new sexy to me. Like, it is a running joke between me and Chris as to how boring we can make our life. And boring really meaning, we just don't want a lot of change. And I will tell all of you, the human brain actually doesn't like lots of change. It kind of fights against it. It wants things to be routine. It's just like most of you don't go to the grocery store and everybody's been like, I can't wait to see what kind of new toothpastes are out there. I'm just ready to change things up this week. We buy the same toothpaste. We buy the same, like, we all probably have a certain toilet paper we really love. Like, if you look through your life, all of you who swear to God is like, miss excitement. I need change all the time. I bet you don't. I bet there are certain areas in your life where you want to have a lot of fun and you're trying to figure out how to have fun in those areas. And sometimes we mistake wanting to have fun because we really don't know how to go out and make new friends and stuff. We make food the fun thing. So like, look and see if you really do want that much variety in your food. A lot of women also have an aversion to wanting to make food boring because they equate boring with dieting. Because most diets will make you eat a certain thing. For me, I think the reason why my food never feels boring is because I don't put things on there I don't like. It's like if I told all of you, guess what? I have unlocked the code to where nachos, cheeseburgers, ice cream, chips, your favorite candy, like all of those things, that's how we lose weight. We just are not going to eat vegetables and stuff. That is some bull fucking shit. Like my diet is like, you know, candy-o instead of keto. All of you would probably be sitting there going, well, that's a routine I can get behind. So I want you to just think about like most humans just aren't looking for that much variety. But we start saying we want variety when we're actually wanting a variety of emotion. And for me, when it comes to my food life, I'm like, I just have such a good time in other parts of my life that now I don't need food to be the highlight reel. So now the food is just like, these are the things that taste really good that I can look forward to. And I just eat them on repeat. And the reason why I know this is more, we like women think this is a problem is because like my husband, I mean, he ate the same fucking quiche for 3 straight years for lunch. And then one day out of the blue, texted Aunt JJ and said, I'm going to start having peanut butter sandwiches for lunch. You can stop making quiche. We all, it was like one of those cartoon moments where it was like, everything stopped on a dime. And now for nearly 8 months, he has ate a peanut butter sandwich every day for lunch. He never sits and thinks, this is diet mentality. Like he doesn't do that. He doesn't sit there and think, I got to rebel. I got to do these things. Because in his mind, this is what I like. This is simple. And I want to get back to doing what's fun in life. I don't want to spend a lot of time in my food life. I just like, but he's also one to enjoy a burger when we go out. So I just want all of you to think about a lot of times when it comes to routine in your food, and when we're planning, don't be afraid of having the same things over and over again. But also on the flip side, if you want to plan different things because you actually do enjoy cooking and you enjoy experimenting and stuff, then you should do that. But your routine is probably going to be, I always plan and I plan new things. And every Sunday I take a look and see like, what are all the exciting things I want to try this week? And I'm going to make a list. And then each day I'll just pick from one of those. There's so many ways to make planning work for you and to work for your temperament that it's unbelievable. But most of us just tell ourselves stuff like, I'm pretty sure that no matter what I do, it's a problem. Well, if I'm mixing it up every day, I must be wrong. If I'm doing it routine, I just must be wrong.
I think it's interesting that like we could use this almost as like an analogy that planning is all about how you think about it. So Chris ate the same quiche every day for 3 years and now he eats
never bored. Like never somebody bored. Is like mixing it up is how we keep it from being bored. No, it's your thinking that keeps it from being boring.
And so he might be thinking like, what a relief. I don't have to worry about what's for lunch. It's quiche. Where's peanut butter sandwich? Like it is off my plate. I don't like, I am setting myself up for success.
He also thinks it tastes good.
Yeah. Yeah. But he could be thinking, I only get to eat quiche today. Oh, right. I'm so restricted. And it's, again, the action is the same, whether he's eating quiche or peanut butter sandwich. Like, but he could be thinking about what a relief, or you'd be thinking about this is so restrictive. So it's like, that's kind of the mindset behind this whole planning guide is to help, you know, our members look at it from a perspective of like, you can plan in a way that is just a, you know, a gift to you rather than like making some diet telling you what to do. No, it's your gift to you.
I wish that all of you could just follow my son around for a week. If you ever wanted to see someone who has such an amazing attitude about food and planning, which I never actively taught Logan Dick about food or planning. He has just grown up around me. It is literally, I've never told him what's good or bad. The closest to food advice that I have given him is not too long ago. I told him when he first started driving all the time, like every day he was going to the gas station and buying candy. And like he never was like, my child is born on fucking Halloween and he wouldn't even go trick or treating to get candy. So it wasn't like I was always trying to get him to enjoy candy and he's like, no, nothing. Like he just wasn't a big candy eater. Well, then when he turns 21, he's driving around and stuff. All of a sudden, he's just like a candy whore. And so after it was about a month or two, I just saw him eating like Twix and shit every single day, Skittles and junk. I said, hey, like, I love that you go and you treat yourself and stuff. That's awesome. But I just want to remind you that eating candy every day might be keep because he was having a hard time going to sleep at night and he only wanted to go to gas stations at night. I was like, eating candy every day could be why you're having a hard time sleeping at night. So you might want to think about when you have candy, how often you have candy and stuff. Because I knew for him, he also really valued being able to work and being able to focus because that's really hard for him. Like he can only work in about 15 to 25 minute time blocks, and then he needs like a 10 minute break, and then he resets and he goes. And we just had like a really good conversation about that stuff. That's the closest to food advice I've really probably ever given that child, other than get some fruit in because it's just good for pooping. And he's a lot like me. That colon can go shy real quick. So he, every week now, he plans the day before, just like we do in No BS. He makes a plan of when he's going to eat and where he's going to eat every day because he likes to go out to eat every single day. That's his opportunity to go out and meet people. And he's got friends at different restaurants. So for him, it's very communal. It's very like that is a way for him to connect, is to go out. He sits in the same server sections. He's gotten to know managers. Like, oh, I'm just so proud of him for figuring out how to like just figure out his little social life and stuff because it's not easy for him. But he makes a plan. Like, and he tells me every day, today I plan to go to Burgers and Dogs. Today I plan to go to McDonald's. Today is like Sunday is always Sundays at 5 o'clock is always Waffle House to see Dalton. So he has like his little routines, but he just plans it every day and he makes it fit like his life. And then he's got like his other meals. He's like, okay, if I'm going to be eating out once a day, I also need to balance that with some healthier options during the day. So he always has Aunt JJ make him a big fruit salad. And that's what he'll eat a fruit salad every day for lunch, knowing he's probably going out for dinner. And then and even if with his dinners, like he has like one restaurant that's like McDonald's is always like Big Macs. That if he goes to Waffle House, he's doing like eggs, bacon, and toast. You know, like it's just a very simple meal. So the reason why I say all this is because I just want y'all to see like there's two people's perspectives who have planning or what some of us would just call boring food lives and stuff. It's really not like y'all have to quit blaming planning and blaming the food for how you feel. Whatever you're feeling, I want you to just spend this month knowing or paying attention to however I'm feeling around food and planning. I really want to figure out what story am I telling about this? Because that's what's causing these emotions right now. If I'm feeling restricted, if I'm feeling deprived, if I'm feeling locked in, if I feel like this isn't spontaneous enough, if I feel like this is dieting, whatever that is, I feel like this is, think about why. Why would I feel that way? Because inherently, food and planning cannot create any kind of an emotion. If they did, if they created an emotion, every single one of us would have to feel the exact same way about it. That is how we know when something actually causes an emotion or not. That is why, for some of you, your partner, like if all of you who say, like, no, my partner makes me feel this way, Imagine if I was their partner. Would I feel exactly like you? Like when you feel hurt, would I be hurt or would I be indignant, annoyed, mad? That is how we know, or would I just not even care? So that is how we know, like these things at the root of everything that I teach y'all in No BS is there are things that happen in this world, like planning, whether or not you're going to eat the same, peanut butter sandwich every day, or you're going to, be a Martha Stewart every night, whatever that is. And then there are our thoughts about all of it. And those thoughts are what drive our feelings, which means that we can change our attitude about so much in our life and change our attitude in a way that makes us do better, chase our dreams, be patient with ourselves. It allows for us to open up so much more. Okay. So we talked about why we know why we created. We just wanted to make things a lot easier on everybody. I mean, at the bottom line, we just want everyone to have an easier time when it comes to planning. And so we tried to give you a lot of ideas. There was something how do you think our members could best use it, especially this month?
So I would, that's a good question. I would say, first of all, like kind of skim through the table of contents and look at where are the areas where you could kind of get the most bang for your buck. So like it's broken into different parts. So it's, strategies of how to meal plan when, life happens, when it's, your day doesn't go perfectly. So if you find yourself constantly breaking your plan, then that section might be where to focus your attention and like what's a one or two situations in part one where it, gives you different scenarios of how to meal plan when things don't go your way. Look at one or two of those and be like, all right, when might that come up for me this month? Let's plan ahead for it. And how can I be flexible and adjust and set myself up for success rather than saying, oh, hell, the day didn't go to plan, so I might as well just have pizza. And then so like part two is about what to do when you don't follow your plan. So is it possible that this month you might have a day where you don't follow your plan? Go ahead and look at that section and be, like think
Is
ahead.
it possible? I like how you said that. I
Possible?
want to know who is the perfect meal plan follower in our group. Like, it isn't Corinne. Let's put it that way.
Or me, definitely
Yeah,
not.
I actually had to do my habit tracker this morning because I've been out of town. And so I was like, whoa, my numbers, like, it's so funny. Some numbers went up from last month, and there's like the numbers that were down last month, you could tell I focused on them because they went up. So I didn't focus on what, especially, oh my gosh, of all of them, making a but of course, this is meal planning month, naturally. This is the month I've got to work on it because last month, there were so many days that I just forgot to do it. Like, which forgetting for me at this point is crazy town to me because I've done it'd be like me forgetting to like wake up and breathe. Like, oh my God, I forgot to start my breathing again this But this month, I had a very busy August was busy. I traveled a lot and stuff, and I made a lot of like big plans, but my daily plans, there were just days where I literally got busy doing something. And like the next day, I was going to fill out my habit tracker and be like, well, did I follow my plan yesterday? And I would look and I'd be like, well, shit, I didn't even make one. News to me.
Hey, ladies, nobody is perfect. Perfection is
Nobody.
not a thing.
All right.
But just to finish that thought, I would say, like for the No BS members who have a not so happy relationship with planning, where you think it's restrictive, go ahead and skip to part three. That's where like the common negative thoughts you have about planning. So like if you already are like, I'd like planning, but sometimes life gets in the way, that's part one. Part three is I don't like to plan. I feel like it's restrictive. I feel like it's diet mentality. Head on over to part three and peruse. We've got what, 14 different common, negative thoughts around planning. that it's just like, here's a different way to look at it. And I was using this analogy with a client just yesterday that the thought work, a lot of times I like to think of it as like that optical illusion where like in the middle, it's a vase, but on the sides, if you look at the dark part, it's two faces looking at each other. And like wherever you focus your attention, you can see either the vase in the middle or the two faces on the side. And they're both there, but whatever you're focusing your attention on is more prevalent in your attention at that time.
Right.
And so part three of the meal planning guide is all about like, okay, the first one says, I'm too tired to plan. That's just one example of a negative thought around planning. That's the vase in the middle that is usually so easy for us to see. I'm too tired to plan. This guide gives you an opportunity to look at the faces on the outside of that illusion and be like, here's a different way to look at it. You both are there, both can feel true, but wherever you focus your attention becomes more kind of highlighted in your attention.
So go over each section again. Part
Yeah.
one is what?
Part one is how to make a meal plan basically when life doesn't go to plan. So it's when you're tired, when you want to like get takeout at the end of the day, when you're going out to a restaurant, you're going to someone's house, you don't know what's going to be served, someone else is doing the cooking, plans change last minute. So that's like, here's how to plan in the wild when life is real rather than, you know, the typical diet of like, here's your perfect plan. Go, good luck. You know,
All
it's like,
right, good
no.
luck to you.
Right.
Good luck over at your mom's house when she's food pushing on you.
Right. So
Then
part
go
one's all
ahead.
about that.
And
Yeah.
then part two is what?
Part two is when you don't follow your plan because let's be real, that happens to all of us. So here's what to do when you don't follow your plan. I mean, how many diets, I can count exactly zero, told me what to do when I didn't follow a plan. I was like,
Right.
well, I must suck. I'm the problem. And here is your step-by-step guide of when you don't follow your plan because you're human, it's normal. We don't follow our plans all the time. Here's what to do. And it's just stay calm, make an assessment. I remember when I first had like the aha moment of like, if I didn't follow my plan at like 3 in the afternoon, that was usually my really tough time because the kids came home from school and they wanted a snack. And then I would snack with them and suddenly, like, shit, the whole day went to hell. When I realized I could pause after I went off plan and make a new plan from like 5 o'clock for the rest of the day, I was like, I'm allowed to do that. That's not against the rules. I was like, wait a minute, I make the rules. I can do that. You can pivot anytime.
Yeah. I like to picture myself even like if I'm like if I let's say I overeat at dinner, I always like to remind myself, this is when we can hit the reset button right now. It's like, let's just stop eating now and remember that there's no benefit to continuing to eat at this point. Like I've already overate. I'm obviously don't need any more food. And I don't need to feel bad about it, but I need to be aware that I might want to keep eating. And now we can just hit the reset button and just like, all right, clock starts now. Like we don't have to eat. We're already done. And I kind of just reason through why it would be more beneficial to just go ahead and stop now than to reason through all the reasons I should just say, fuck it and throw in the towel. And that I think that is something that I think a lot of our women. Like, if I was going to somehow sprinkle a skill on everyone, it's more about negotiating for not to break plans, but it's to negotiate for your dreams in any moment that you can. I do so much fucking inner self-talk. It is unreal. I am so good now at noticing when I am trying to get myself off my plans. And like even this morning, I did not feel well when I woke up this morning. Like my sinuses are fucking buck right now. And so Chris and I both, we didn't sleep well and I don't know, we just didn't feel good today. We're both complaining to each other in the kitchen. And I said, oh, I was going to do leg day this morning. And I mean, like I had structured my whole morning around lifting in the morning, not lifting in the afternoon. And I knew I just couldn't do it. Like, I was just like, there's just a no. Like, I can't breathe, all the things. So I said, but I can take a walk. So I was listening to myself want to just be like, just go back to work. You're not going to be able to lift your legs today. It's all over. You might as well just be productive. And that sounded so lovely. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so glorious. I'm going to like trade in working out for producing work and, you know, doing all this other stuff. And I was sitting there going, but you could walk and you might actually enjoy it. And we need to have some kind of activity today. Even if you don't feel like I wasn't so sick that I couldn't take a walk, but I needed to like negotiate with myself. It's, I had to tell myself, like, your lifelong dream is to be someone that is physically active until the day she dies. Which means you're going to have plenty of days from now until 100 where you need to go out for a walk. And so today we're going to be her. And so it's like a lot of that inner pivoting all the time. And I think the same thing happens when we're talking about when we screw up, like, oh my gosh, I just caught myself overeating, or oh my gosh, I wasn't planning on eating that. And look, here we are. It's like having those moments where you know what to do are so helpful. One of the things I did want to suggest to everybody is with your, for some of you, print this guide out. I like to think of it as not just a helpful way to plan and stuff, but it's almost like a SOS guide too. There's a lot in there about like just how to handle the shit that gets in the way. Because all of you, we've already taught you how to plan. And honestly, y'all wanted recipes, so we give you recipes. But we act like there's not a Pinterest world out there or Google or books galore. In fact, most of you, if I went into one of your closets, I would probably find 4,000 cookbooks that you're not even looking at. But you got it. So anything else like, so we, what other sections are there? Just so that everybody knows which sections we have.
100%. So just to finish up what you were talking about, like, so part two is what to do when you don't follow your plan. You were talking about that skill of inner self-talk. It reminds me of, you know, John Acuff talks about his soundtracks, that one of mine is, I never regret closing up the box and putting it away. I might regret continuing to go face down into it. So it's like my mental self-talk is, I'm not going to regret the choice to stop now. Even if I'm, you know, halfway through an effort eat. Same thing with a workout. Like, there are plenty of days where I wake up, I'm like, no, I want to do it today. But my self-talk is, I never regret even just 10 minutes. Sometimes I regret not doing it and I feel like crap the rest of the day and then I'm just not productive. And so it's like, just as you talked about that ability to pivot and be like, I never regret putting it away, or I never regret doing some movement. So anyway, that's part two, is when you don't follow your plan. Part three is all about those negative thoughts that we have about planning, why we don't like it. It feels overwhelming. I feel restricted. Takes too much time. All of these thoughts. And that's all about, like, here's the negative thought that's typical, and here's a different way to look at it. Here's a way to have a different relationship with planning. So you are loving yourself through planning rather than, you know, punishing yourself through planning. So that's part three. And then part four is all about examples and guides. And huge shout out to our No BS foodies. Those ladies helped me because I'm a boring eater. I'm like, I don't know recipes. So big shout out to our foodies. Definitely helped with a lot of those guides and meals. But we've got examples of, like, here's a whole bunch of healthy, easy meals. Here's a bunch of freezer meals. If you're only cooking for one or two people, try these. If you know, you've got something you want to make ahead. Or like, I don't even know what I have available in the house. How can I throw together a meal in a jiffy? You know, things like that. And then we've got guides for busy moms, singles, empty nesters, some people with special food considerations like diabetics, things like that. We have a takeout food guide and a default grocery list, and then a couple of FAQs there at the end.
So let's go to some questions. I'm going to read them and then you and I both can answer. So the first one is from Anonymous. What if I always plan and fail? I've been over 200 pounds for 2 years now. I plan and then in the moment, I'm not in the mood. And then I don't. I base my actions on my mood. What is your thoughts on that?
So my first thought is, like, let's look at how you're talking to yourself. I make a plan and fail. So my thought is, it's impossible for me to fail. I make a plan, and like, morning me is trying to set up the rest of the day me for success. And if 3 o'clock me is like, I hate this idea, I don't say, oh, I failed. I get like, well, huh? I get curious. I'm like, why? What's going on right now? Why do I not want what I planned for myself? And what's happened earlier in the day? Am I stressed? Am I beating myself up about something? Am I worried about, you know, something that Corinne said? And, you know, I've got this whole new big project on my plate. Just kidding. You know, what is going on? And so then if I decide to pivot, I can ask, do I like my reasons? And so I guess for me, I would encourage you to think about, like, instead of telling yourself I pass or I fail, like, give yourself a million ways to win of, like, just be curious and learn. Each day is an opportunity to learn something about yourself and about your, you know, what's going on. And it's just like helping you learn how to set yourself up for success. And then, you know, are you planning things that you like? And is that what you might discover when you get curious? What are your thoughts, Corinne?
Yeah, I like the idea of asking. So like if I was going to put it into a process, like my brain always thinks in process form. The first thing would be is like, okay, I'm going to keep planning. And then like, if I break my plans, I need to start tracking with what foods and with what moods. Because one of the things that she said was, I'm not in the mood. Then you need to ask yourself, not what you can ask yourself, number one, what foods am I in the mood for most often? And are those even getting on the original plans? Because sometimes what happens is when we're a chronic plan breaker, it is because we are still holding on to this idea that there is a right way to plan and a wrong way to plan. And foods I like are on the wrong way to plan list. So I don't plan those, because then I judge myself for being wrong, but then I can't make myself eat the other foods because that's not even what I really want. And the idea in no BS for all of you is we start planning foods initially with the things that are going to be easy for us to want in the moment, so that we get really good at following through with ourselves. We want to prove to ourselves that no matter what, if we make a plan, we know either how to follow it. We know how to pivot in the moments we need to. Like we're taking eating unconsciously, which is what's happening here. This is where it's like, well, I'm just not in the mood. And I don't really know why I'm not in the mood. I just notice I'm breaking my plans. So planning must not work for me. That's still eating unconsciously, because you haven't figured out what is it that causes me to go off plan. So we look at first, like, well, what foods to me, I would be like, well, let me track what foods I'm usually in the mood for and that I'm actually eating in place of. And number one, am I consciously planning those enough and showing myself that I could eat them in a much more manageable way if I'm actually including them more often? Because another thing that usually happens in this case is you think I lose control over these foods. So then you try to pull them back. And then you end up somehow getting your hands on them. But in the moment when you get your hands on them, you know you're going to take them away again. So you feel like you have to hoard eat, or you have to like fuck it eat. You have to go all in on it, because your brain is like, oh, I'm on to her. Like, I need to eat up right now, because the next few days, she's going to try not to plan that shit anymore. So we want to just kind of be looking at that. And I think the other part of the process that's really, really needed here is to figure out, why is it at this, like, a lot of times there's a certain time of day that we break our plan. Like, a lot of us are really good with our plan up until a certain moment of the day. And then there's a tipping point where all of a sudden it's like our mood changes. Like when you say, I'm not in the mood for it, it's like, what is the difference between my morning mood and my afternoon mood? Why does she not care? What goes on all day long that makes her feel like the only way that she can be in a better mood or meet, like if I'm saying I'm not in the mood for this, it's like, all right, what mood am I trying to create? And why, what happened during the day that made me starved for this mood so much that the only way that I can meet it is with food? So there's a lot that goes on. There's so much to unpack on this one. I mean, there's like 5,000 ways we could go. But a lot of times it is, if we're not following through on the second half of the day, there were events happening in the first part of the day that set us up for that. So it could be, for example, you go through your days killing yourself to take care of other people. like dying by a thousand cuts to take care of other people, you're never on the list. And so when you get to the end of the day, you're like, I'm not in the mood for this. I want you to ask yourself, if it's not food, what am I in the mood for? Like, what is it that I so desperately need right now? And food is the representation of that. So for a lot of women, when you all day long take care of your family and you take care of your boss and you take care of your coworkers, and you're also probably taking care of your parents and you're taking care of like all these things, we're in the mood to be cared for at night. And the way that we like, I'm not in the mood for a salad that doesn't feel caring, but ordering out feels very caring because I'm tired. This is the only way that I know how to make my life easier is to do this thing with food. That's what we want to know. Because if we understand that, then we have some options. We can find, number one, new ways to care for ourselves in the evenings. We can trace back the days and we can start looking at who are the people and the places that we are not saying no when we might be able to. We're just afraid we'll hurt their feelings, or we have some kind of false flag fear going on that if I do this, I look bad, or I like, you know, well, if I was to come home at night after working all day long and three nights a week want my husband to help with the kids after he's worked all day long, I'm going to look selfish. Instead of like, is it really selfish that three out of seven nights a week, you have time to yourself? You're both working a job. You both had these kids. Like understanding, like that's not a selfish thing. That is just a, I need to ask. I need to see where my relationship is. And a lot of you have so many ways to actually solve your food problems with this stuff. And the only thing blocking you is some kind of like weird ass story that you're telling that when we were to pull it apart and ask coaches or in a coaching session, you just be like, no wonder I'm eating at night. Maybe I start doing these things and see if something changes in my eating behaviors at night. So there's like a lot of ways to go with this one.
Can I offer a quick strategy?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I obviously love everything that you just said, Corinne. And for you listening, if you're like, okay, that sounds great, but that sounds like I don't even know how to get into the thought work underneath, like what I'm in the mood for, start here. Start with, give yourself two options for breakfast, either this or that. Three options for lunch, this or that. And make one of them the easy option. Like if I really couldn't care less, it's that. Same thing, three options for dinner. So you have your choices. And then when you show up, and it's dinner time and you're like, I don't want any of these. That's when you're like, okay, there's some thought work that needs to go on in here, because whatever I planned, I gave myself three options and none of them sound good. That means there's some kind of emotion or desire I'm trying to create with food.
Yeah. Like food is not really solving it. Like if it three options and I still don't want it, and my best version of myself was sitting there thinking like, here's one for your goals. And here's one for you as a tired ass bitch. And here's like this. And I'm still not wanting it. That is like literally the canary in the cave or whatever saying, we have a much deeper problem. There's never going to be a pizza or a takeout dinner that's going to solve whatever's going on for you at this point. And I would just tell myself that. Like, I think a lot of times y'all don't tell yourself enough of that stuff. Like, even if you can't change the behavior, you have to start teaching yourself there is no food option that is actually making my life better right now. It may make this moment tolerable, but my life is not getting better. And it's just better that I admit this, so that, because the more you admit those things, you're not going to feel amazing, but you're not also beating yourself up. Sometimes some of the best things that we can do in any relationship is when we tell someone the truth. If you saw your kids doing something that was going to harm them long-term, you'd probably sit down and have a conversation about it. You wouldn't be like, yay, I can't wait to talk to my kids and this is going to be so fun. And you know, I'm not going to do it until I feel really good about it. No, you just be like this is gonna kind of suck. I hate to have to tell them this stuff, but this is a conversation that needs to be had because I love them. And sometimes the truth is just one of those places we have to be in that for a little bit before we can really see, like, okay, I'm kind of like, I've told myself the truth for so long. I really don't want to be in this place anymore. So now I actually have to do something different.
Yeah. I wanted to address a question that Michelle put into the chat about how do you pivot when kids who are supposed to be home for dinner cancel last minute? Michelle, we literally have that in the planner on the bottom of page 8. So someone changes their mind at the last minute, there's a whole section of what to do there. So go ahead and check out the bottom of page 8.
All right, Kim asked, what do I do when I'm depressed and can't cook a hot meal? I feel like a shitty wife ordering out. First of all, how are you a shitty wife by ordering out? If I'm just going to warn you, Kim, if the definition of shitty wife is someone who, let me just tell you what I do, because we order out a lot, because I have a beautiful kitchen. I mean, we built this house over a year ago. I think I fired the oven up one time and then we ordered an air fryer and I used it twice. I don't even know if I've actually cooked on the stove. So, or maybe I made eggs once. That's it. And I've lived here for that long. So when we're out of JJ food or whatever, I do not run to the store and grab food and come home and cook a meal to be a good wife. I order Uber Eats. And I always joke with Chris, I'm like, when it arrives, I'm gonna be like, don't you just love me? I mean, I hunted and I gathered and I served. I tell him that every time. I'm just like, I am the hunter and gatherer when I do the Uber Eats. You feel like a shitty wife only because you have this story that you're supposed to produce a hot meal. If you lived in the 40s, I would probably totally agree with you. If you were my great great grandmother who had a farm with 100 working hands and 9 kids to feed, and she had to wake up at 3 in the morning to start the fire to get going to cook for all of them, and because she provided 2 squares a day, I would be like, I could agree. That is your job. But we are in what's called 2024. It is different now. And a lot of times, this shitty wife attitude is just like conditioning. At some point, and then I'm just going to tell y'all, this is how I truly believe. At some point in history, around, I think it was around World War II, women went to work. Before that, women weren't really expected to work. Our job was the house. And so it made sense that we were taking care of kids and stuff. And that was, you know, this was how we contributed. And men would go to work and they would come home and they didn't have to play with kids and take care of the house and stuff because they went out and did that. They had basically a wife to do all this other stuff, just a social contract that we lived under for, you know, most of humanity. Well, it all changed, except the social constructs. They didn't really change. Women were now expected to go to work. And they were expected now to come home and keep their first job. If we say that out loud, it sounds dumb. Like, if it sounds dumb that women are supposed to go work 40 hours, come home, and then have a part-time job of take like keep a four, what used to be a 40-hour work week for women, the home life, that we were supposed to keep both. So we have to, then in this day and age, Kim, you just kind of have to tell yourself, like, this is probably based in social conditioning. This is not actually me being a shitty wife. It, to me, being a shitty wife would say, I don't feel like cooking. And so we're all going to starve until the day I feel like cooking again. Nobody eats when I don't feel like cooking. That maybe I would say, like, well, I wouldn't want to be married to you. I would much rather my wife say, like, when she doesn't feel like cooking, say, why don't we just order out tonight? And just know that when you're depressed, your brain plays all kinds of tricks on you. You're a depressed brain, it is an amazing liar. And so for me, as someone who deals with depression, when I am not in depression, when I am in what I call my rational brain, one of the things that I do is I look for stories that I tell myself when I'm depressed that feel very real. And I work on those stories when I'm not depressed, so that when they come up and they feel so real, when I'm having really bad days, I can tell myself, I know I've worked on this. I know right now I don't believe it because depression is a liar. Depression will always tell me the biggest ass lie to get me to stay sad. And so it's just looking for an opening. And that right there, like, I don't have to believe a new story about the kind of wife I am. I don't have to believe all that, but I can at least tell that to myself. And that feels believable. Even in, on my worst days, I can always believe 100% that depression is a liar, that it is really good at making me feel bad over some dumb shit. And I just need to be aware of that, so I'm not stuck in whatever it's telling me. Is there a plant-based meal plan? No meat, no dairy, no eggs. I do occasionally eat anything, but this is the way I eat most of the time for my health.
I am checking. I don't think we had a vegan one.
I am pretty sure there are things in there that are vegan, though. I mean, not like meat and vegetables is always a vegan option. Oh, wait, no,
Yeah,
you
we
were
created
doing no meat. So, like, if you did all veggies with beans and rice, you know, like things like that. But here's what I would suggest, Katie, is look through and see what we have that you can make substitutes. Like, one of my team members is a complete vegan, Yasmin. She's a vegan. But a lot of times you're just like, you're going to go through and you're going to be like, now, how do I make this vegan friendly? But there's honestly, I will just tell all of you, as much as I love that we gave y'all lots of ideas and stuff, y'all act like we are so clever. Like we have somehow given y'all recipes that were unknown to humankind before this guide came out. There is nothing in there that couldn't have been found on Google, in the foodie group, on Pinterest. I mean, did you come up with something that was so novel that I guess, you know, what's his name? Wolfgang Puck's coming and knocking on your door, asking you, like, you should be my new recipe developer.
Yeah, no, let's just say when my husband and I got married, he lost weight because of my cooking. So, no.
Didn't happen with Chris. Chris, actually, funniest story about me and Chris is when I was pregnant, we both ate our way through my pregnancy. I mean, he was definitely a partner in crime. He was just like, if you're eating it, I'm eating it. And I gained a lot of weight when I was pregnant. I mean, I was well over 250 by the time I had Logan. I quit weighing it too, but I remember it was like 3 weeks before I had Logan. And that was the last time I would even step on the scale and let them tell me what I weighed. And I was over 250 then. So I had room to grow. He saw a picture of himself one day standing by the bed while I was having Logan. And he was like, why did you not tell me? And I said, tell you what? He was like, I didn't realize I was so fat. I said, only because I was gaining so much weight, I couldn't even worry about how much you weigh. I have to worry about me. But like, we always ate out and stuff. So Chris gained a lot of weight with me. So I like, the reason why I say all this to all of you is I want all of you to like go into the Facebook group. If you are a vegan, join the foodie group and ask in there and say, like, what are y'all's favorite vegan recipes? I will bet you they're hanging out over there. Or try and experiment with some stuff that's in our guide by making them vegan friendly and then post about them. The biggest thing that we wanted to do is show y'all how much freedom you can have with food, especially with planning, that this is not a all or nothing thing. This is not a I do it right or I do it wrong. There are so many ways to do it. Okay. We have to go because I have another call starting in now. And I'm always late to them because I push late here. Thank you again, Coach Lizzie. And then if y'all have any questions or anything, please post them in the Facebook group. But we would love for you to all month long we want you to tell us what you're using from the guide. Like if you see something you love in that guide, post it in the Facebook group, because one of the things that we need help with is always just making sure that everyone has an open mind about trying our stuff. We put out wonderful things and then somebody's like, well, I'm not a good planner, or like, oh my gosh, I don't like planning, so I'm just not even going to look at it, until they see some of y'all using it. And they're like, well, shit, I think that all the time. Or, oh my gosh, if this person can use it, I want to check it out. Because a lot of times I just need people to check something out and take a look at it. And all of a sudden they're like, well, that's not what I thought it was. I'm so glad I took a look. Okay. Thank you, Lizzie.
Thank you, Corinne. Thanks, everyone.
All righty. Bye, everybody.
Bye.